Hi, I'm Bob Taper with LearnVisualStudio.net. Up to now, we've been focusing purely on the Visual Basic Programming Language, the syntax. We have looked at several classes within the .NET Framework class library. We looked at collections, we looked at linked objects, we looked at classes and namespaces that help us to retrieve data from files or to print things to screen and so on. We've also looked at several matters related to compilation of source code into assemblies. We looked at the .NET Framework runtime and what it does for us behind the scenes with memory management and so on. However, I'm sure you're getting itchy to build real applications that a user can interact with, user interfaces that display data over the web or Windows applications and so on. So in this video, what I want to do is discuss event-driven programming, which is the foundational concept for most graphical user interface or GUI style applications written with the .NET Framework. In our simple console window applications, there has been a single event, the application startup event, I guess you'd call it, which in turn triggers the sub main where we wrote the majority of our code. However, in a modern user interface, whether it be a native Windows application or a web-based application, users can interact with things that they see on the screen. So they can hover over a given element. They can press that element using a mouse button click. They can type into a text box, or they can drag and drop some item from one area of the application to another. So those various elements that they see on the graphical user interface, they can interact with. And as a software developer, you can write code that handles or responds to those actions that your users take on the user interface. So in other words, how will your application react when your user clicks a button? Well, you, the developer, you get to decide that by writing code that handles that particular event. And so what I want to do in this lesson is show how that manifests itself in several different types of applications. We'll look at first a Windows application, a web-based application, and then a Silverlight-based application, which kind of bridges the two. So first of all, let's start off by creating a new project in Visual Studio or Visual Basic Express Edition. File, new project. Now you can see from the new project dialog, there's a Windows Forms application. This is a older style API that was originally included within the .NET framework. As time has gone on, it's been replaced, I guess you could say, by the WPF or Windows Presentation Foundation API. And these are just classes that allow you to build Windows style applications as opposed to web style applications. Most recently, the WPF or Windows Presentation Foundation applications are receiving all the buzz, but there are still hundreds of thousands of applications that were written using this older API style. For this example, we'll use the newer style, the WPF application template, and I'm going to name this WPF events. Now, just let me preface this. Regardless of which one you choose, the process is almost identical, at least for these simple applications. So whatever you learn with this WPF events example, you could translate it easily to the Windows Forms example as well. Okay. What we're going to do to start off with is to go to our toolbox. In fact, I might even pin this toolbox down. And then what I want to do is drag and drop a text block from the toolbox into this designer surface. Now notice as I hover my mouse cursor over, kind of outlines a target area with a blue outline. I'm just going to drag it and drop it and then drag it around and place it using my mouse cursor. And I can even expand it by going to the side of this and pulling it outwards. All right. And then what I'm going to do is drag and drop a second control, a button control from the toolbox, and drop it into our designer surface and kind of line it up. All right. And there will be other videos that talk specifically about using the Forms Designer as you see here. Ultimately, whatever we're doing in this top area, you can see the ramifications through an XML style syntax called XAML in this lower section. So I've created a text block, and you can see that represented here with this XML style syntax that defines its alignment, the margins 12 and 12 and so on, pixels from the top and from the left, and its width 181 pixels wide, the text inside of it, text block, and a programmatic name that we can use to reference it inside of our code. Same thing is true with this button. Same basic idea, all right? Now, if we wanted to allow our users to click a button, let's just go ahead and run the application by clicking the Start Debugging button in our toolbar. At this point, we've written no code to handle a button click event. So nothing happens whenever we run our application. Let's go ahead and close our application by clicking on the red X in the upper right-hand corner. But say, for example, I want to handle the button click event for this button. There are a number of different ways that I can handle that event or write code for that click event. Let me show you the different ways that we can go about this. The first way is to navigate by selecting the button in the designer. I'm going to go to the properties window on the right hand side and select a events tab next to the properties tab. Here I can see all of the events that we can handle for a button, and it might surprise you that there are actually quite a few different events that can be handled. Now we're looking for a specific event called click. It's at the very top, and what I can do is just double click on that click event, and you can see it does a couple of things. First of all, it opens up a .vb file that has the same name as the main window.xaml file that contains all of this XAML code that represents the user interface. All right. So it opens up a second file that's somehow associated with the first file, but has a slightly different file extension, .vb, at the end. Notice that it took the name of the button. If we look over here, scroll over to the right hand side, this button has been given a programmatic name that allows us to access it whenever we write Visual Basic code. So button one and then underscore click. That's what it has named by default this click event handler. If I scroll over to the right, you can see that there are a number of different arguments that are passed in from the .NET Framework class library at runtime. And then at the very end, here's the most important part. This particular event, or rather function or method that has been automatically generated for us, at least the stub of it has, it handles the button1.click event. All right, so this handles keyword in Visual Basic is the key. It tells the .NET Framework what we want this procedure, this sub-procedure called button1click, to handle. We want it to handle the button one click event. All right, the name of this, we could name this anything we wanted to. That's just a convention for our convenience. All right, so here what we can do now is reference this text block and change its text property by doing the following. Once somebody clicks on the button, then we want it to reference the text block one, that's the name of the text block, setting its text property to hello world. Now let's rerun our application. Now that we've written code to handle the click event, that event code will execute whenever we click the button. It'll happen again and again and again, although we don't see any difference in our results. It's actually executing that code each time we click that button. Okay? All right, so we've demonstrated one way to access a stub of a method that's generated whenever we want to write code for the click event. Now there's an easier way to get to this rather than going to the events tab and finding the event that we're looking for. If we want what's essentially the default functionality for a button, you click a button, you can just double click the button on the IDE and it will open up or create a method stub for that given button. And we can demonstrate this. At this point, there's only the button one click event. Let's drag and drop a second button into place and then just double click it. And you can see now private sub button two click, if we scroll over to the right, it handles the button two object's click event, and here we can write text block 1.text equals hello from button 2. And we can run our application again. Now, when we click this button, a different event handler will fire that executes the code that we wrote in our button 2 method stub. And we can still click button number 1, all right? Now, there's a third way to actually handle or create a event handler code that handles a button click event. Here we have our button 3, and what I'll do, I'm going to type in private sub button 3 click. I could call it anything, but by convention I'll leave it the same name. I'm not going to pass in any of the events. I could easily do that, but I'm going to demonstrate that that's not even necessary for these simple cases. This will handle the button 3 click event, and again we're going to access the text property of our text block and say hello from button 3 and run our application. And now we'll click on button 3 and notice that its code executes as well as the other ones. Okay, so there are three different ways to generate method stubs that handle events for objects defined on our user interface. We first went to the properties window and clicked the events tab to see all possible events. We double clicked a given object to get to its default event, which in this case would obviously be a click event. And then finally we were able to just go straight into the code window, write a method that handles a given event. Now, ideally, we would also pass in the sender and any routed event args. In a more full implementation, we would definitely want to do that. This is just a quick, dirty example for demonstration purposes that the handles keyword is what does most of the magic. Okay, so now keep this example in mind. Let's save it. And I want to show you how similar this experience is to creating other types of applications. So, for example, if you already have Visual Studio Standard, Pro, or Greater installed, you can go ahead and use that. On this machine, I do not have that installed. Instead, I downloaded another tool that's kind of a cousin to the Visual Basic Express Edition. It's called Visual Web Developer Express. And I happen to have the 2010 version installed, but what I'm going to demonstrate will work regardless of the version and edition of Visual Studio that you have installed in your hard drive. All right, so don't worry about that. Whatever you choose to use, though, just click File, New Project. Make sure you navigate to the Visual Basic Templates, go to the Web Templates, and then choose ASP.NET Web Application. Don't choose MVC or any of these other examples. Just make sure it says ASP.NET Web Application, and we're going to call this ASP.NET Event. So we're going to create an ASP.NET Web Application to demonstrate these ideas about handling events within our application. Now, in my particular version and edition of Visual Studio, the Visual Web Developer Express Edition, it will open up the default.aspx. What I want to do is split the window so that I can see a visual designer on one pane of the window and then the actual HTML, or rather ASP.NET syntax, in the other window. And so what I'm going to do here is go right below the last line and just make some space for myself. And then I'm going to open up the toolbox and pin it down. And I want to take this opportunity to use a label, which is similar to a text block in our previous example. And then I want to use a series of buttons like we did before. So I'm going to drag and drop a button below it. Now remember the three different ways to define a event handler. I'm going to make sure button 1 is selected and then go over to the events. Now it just is a little lightning bolt, so we're going to make sure to select that in the properties window and look for the event that we want to handle, in this case a click event. So I'm going to double click the click event and it creates a sub button one click with sender as object, E as event args, handles button one dot click. You see the similarity there? Now what we want to do is just type in label one, which is the name of our label similar to our text block, dot text equals hello world. And let's go ahead and start debugging our application. And after a moment, you can see we have a label and a button. I'm going to click the button and it changed the text from label one to hello world. Awesome. So now that you're kind of familiar with this process, I'm going to continue on a slightly quicker fashion. I'll drag and drop a second button onto our design surface. I'm just going to double click the button. You can see that also created the method stub. So we're going to type label one.text equals hello from button two and run that. Internet Explorer opens up. I can click on button two and it changes the text to hello from button two, and button one still works. Great. And then, just to demonstrate a third process here, I can add another button. Here I'm going to go directly into my default.aspx.vb file and I'm going to type in protected sub button three click handles button three dot click label one dot text equals hello from button three. Again, ideally I would also type in the parameters to the click event. I'm just going to avoid that for now. And let's run the application and click on the third button. And you can see that the event is fired. Great. So same process. These controls have events. I can get to the events in three different ways. Through the properties window, through a default action whenever I double click the given control, and then also I can just type in the code by hand. Either way, it handles the click event. Finally, again, I'm using Microsoft Visual Web Developer Express Edition. You can use Visual Studio for this purpose. Let's go File, New Project to create a Silverlight application. So in the install templates, make sure you're in the Visual Basic section. Make sure you're in the Silverlight section and click Silverlight Application. And here we're going to call this Silverlight Events and click OK. And I'm just going to accept the default options in the new Silverlight Application dialog. It opens up a mainpage.xaml similar to what we were using in the WPF example. Here again, I'm going to drag and drop a text block into place and then our first button. With the button selected, I'll go over to the Events tab and double click the click property from the list of events. And here I'm going to type in text.text equals hello world. Run the application. It loads up Internet Explorer and a web page, and it hosts the Silverlight plugin, loads our Silverlight application deployment package so that we can see it in a web page. I'm going to click the Silverlight button control and it changes the Silverlight text block to Hello World. Again, same process, even though they're different styles of application. Use the button one more time on our designer surface. This time I'm just going to double click the button on the designer surface to create a method stub called button2click that handles the button2.click event. Again, text block1.text equals hello from button2. And run the application again. And we get the results we were desiring. And one final time. Let's go back to our mainpage.xaml. Drag and drop a third button. Use the default name and create a private sub. Button 3, click. Handles, button 3, dot click. Text block 1, dot text equals hello from button 3. And as you might guess, that works as well. Okay, so at this point, it just becomes a matter of learning the different controls that are available for each of the different project types. The WPF project type, the ASP.NET project type, or the Silverlight project type. So each control in those different project types will have potentially a different set of events available. So what you can do is just merely go down the list of events, and when you find one that doesn't make sense, just open up your favorite search engine, type in the name of the control and the event name, and you'll find an article written in MSDN that'll explain what that does. Now, if at first glance that explanation seems very cryptic, chances are you need to back up and learn more about a given concept. Some of these events participate in a larger idea. For example, data binding data from a data store into a control, or drag and drop. There are several different events that are involved in the process of picking something up and moving it on the user interface, dragging it over where maybe a glow would occur to indicate to the user that they can drop the given item into that area, and then the actual action of dropping. There's three or four events that are involved in that, so you need to understand the overall framework before you can understand the individual role of that given event. So what I would recommend in those cases is that you back up and get a bigger picture view of what that event is trying to accomplish. And usually once I have that in place, the individual events will make a whole lot more sense to me. Okay, so that wraps up this video. We got one left in the series, and then the closing comments. So we'll see you in that video. Thank you.